Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Okay. Let's pray together before we read the Scripture, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, we are your people, and this is your book. You've given it to us as a gift, as a rule, as a guide for us to know who you are, who we are, how you have saved and forgiven us, and how we are moving forward to a great kingdom. But Lord, you've also given us such good counsel in all of this about all the areas of our lives. And so we ask on this subject today that you'd help us, that you'd open our hearts and minds. Just because somebody's opening the Bible and has notes written, that doesn't equal your blessing. Lord, I ask that you'd be the one who helps us today. And you'd teach our hearts. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And beginning at verse 6, it says this: Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men and women into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, our relationship with money is really a weird relationship. Because either we don't take care of it properly, or we love it like crazy and it becomes a god in our lives. And I know you might think this is a weird subject for Father's Day, but hold on, okay? Money's not my favorite subject to speak about, but don't worry. I'm not going to ask for any. And the offering's already been taken. And we here at the church, we don't do pledge cards. You ever been to a church that does pledge cards? Like in the beginning of the year, they'll say, write down how much you're going to give us this year so we know how to plan. And then if you get behind on your pledge, they have the audacity to call you like God's collection agency and remind you that you're not keeping up with your pledge. Isn't it interesting that churches don't live by faith? They want everybody else to. My buddy Fred Smith was a great businessman. He's gone now, but he used to get those letters that you get from ministries. You get these letters that say, listen, God has spoken to us that you have a gift for our ministry, and he has told us to tell you that if you will give that gift, he is going to return to you 100-fold. So we should all do what Fred does. He wrote them back a letter. Listen, since the blessing is so great, why don't you send me money and you get the 100-fold or 10-fold? All that stuff. I mean, it just gets weird. Churches act weird about money. It's just a strange thing. So Paul is going to give Timothy some instruction about this kind of stuff. And he loved Tim. Timmy was his, like, the son he never had. And they were dear to one another. Someday we'll meet him. We'll hear the stories of their travels. Can't wait to hear all of that. But what I want to say as I'm beginning is this. Money is not evil. Physical stuff, things, are not evil. There's a lot of Christians that think if you own stuff that somehow that's bad. That's just weird teaching. It's not true. God has given us all things to enjoy. And physical blessings God has given us as needed to be used, enjoyed, and shared. Okay, so I got 3 points today, all right? There are three. You're going to want to write them down because they are good, okay? Number one, if you can make money, make all you can. All right? Number two, when it comes to money, be careful. And number three, you're going to really like this one. If you can't make a lot of money, deal with it. Okay? Pretty simple. The reason I'm talking about money is such an important thing to dads, to breadwinners, We're always working on it. We're always trying to come up with ways to make some money. We're always thinking about it. And they act like somehow that's not spiritual. But if you read the Bible, there's a whole lot in the Bible about making money and handling it properly. It is a good and right thing. When Jesus said, take no thought about tomorrow, that's the King James Version, okay? And back then they realized that meant don't fear tomorrow. That didn't mean don't have a 401k or a Roth IRA where you regularly put money away to take care of yourself in your old age. That isn't what he's talking about. If you can make money, make all you can. And you probably have never thought of this. I've never really thought of this until this week. Do you know that making money can be a spiritual gift? Oh, it's true. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 8. I want you to see this. Talking about spiritual gifts. Beginning at verse 6. If we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it proportioned to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. How do you give generously? You make a pile. That's how you do it. So there's a whole bunch of people who know and love Jesus who make a ton, and that is a good and righteous thing. It is a spiritual gift. I know it's a gift you wish you had, okay? But there are some people that just have that spiritual gift. It's a gift from God. Deuteronomy 18:8, write this down, says, remember the Lord who gives you the ability to make wealth. Isn't that a great statement? Where does all this come from? It's a blessing from him, and there is just a ton of people who have this gift. A spiritual gift given from God is made up of two things: a godly desire combined with an ability. Okay? I think of my friend Ed Santola. He owned Hilton Mortgage in the days. He's been in heaven for probably about 10 years now. He loved to make money. And he loved to make money to take care of his family and to take care of those people in need. Whenever there was a need in someone's life that was big, I could call Ed. I could call Floyd Miles. Remember Fleet Ambulance? Floyd Miles. There was a group of people that said to me, listen, if somebody has a need, you call me. If it's legitimate, you call me. And Ed would be right there to write the check. I can't tell you how many young guys coming out of prison that he purchased a hoopty for. Now, if you're from the city, that means a junker, you know, a car, a beater, right? In the city, they call it a hoopty. He bought so many guys a hoopty to get them to work. It was a great and beautiful and spiritual gift. I think it's underrated. This is not evil. Making money and using that money to bless your family, yourself, and others is a gift from the living God. Can I say something? I'm so sick and tired of politicians talking about the answer being socialism, because it isn't. I'm not being political. I'm being a historian. You look at the millions who have been murdered under the regimes of communist leaders. Oh, the government's going to take care of you. Yeah, the government's going to take care of you until you give all your rights to them, and then they will dictate everything you can and cannot do. What has built the greatest economy in the history of the world is capitalism. Now listen, I know that can be abused too, but property rights, personal liberty and freedom is one of the greatest gifts ever given to the human race, and it built the Western world. Let's not let anybody else tell us any different. And we should all be involved in that. There is opportunity everywhere. Sometimes we don't take opportunity because we have no faith, because we're afraid, or because we're, here it comes, the L word, lazy. God wants us to get off our backsides and get busy. It's a great gift. Boy, my boy Ed just loved it. So let me tell you something. If you can make money, make it. And make it boldly. Don't be apologetic about it. Get out there and get it. Can you be my therapist today? I am so frustrated at the feminization of Christian men. Somehow we've got to just be these nice little boys. You know, I feel your pain. We turn them into women. And by the way, women are wonderful. But there are opposites. And God created most men. Listen to me. God created most men to be a little wild. Yeah. Well, that's right. Go. Boom. Illustration. Bam. There it is. Okay. He's created men to be a little bit wild, to compete, to conquer, to go out there and kill something and drag it home for their families to eat. God has created us to be like this. Don't let this culture turn you. I wrote this really late last night, but I'm still going to say it, okay? I had too much coffee, but I'm going to say it. Don't let this culture turn our dads into mamby-pamby girly men. I hate it. I was listening to a renowned gay commentator, and he was bemoaning the feminization of men in the Christian church, even though he isn't one. He said, where is a young athlete going to go and be inspired? To listen to some girly boy talk? You got to be kidding me. That's what the gay guy said. I mean, it is just so true. We are born, I know this sounds weird, but I'm going to say, we were born to conquer, to go out there and win. That's not a bad thing to say. Go do it. It is good and it is right. We are called to protect. Young men need to be taught that their strength and their size is a gift from God to protect the weak, not to dominate. But we've given this as a gift, as a purpose. My friend Grayson Keach, I miss him. Dear friend. And the cigarettes eventually killed him. By the way, they'll kill you too, so quit them, okay? I mean, you're going to heaven. You'll smell like smoke, but you'll get there, okay? But I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is that stuff kills everybody, you know? So I can't tell you how many people I've watched suffocate with emphysema, COPD, all those things, just because they were a Marlboro man, you know? Grayson married a sweet girl named Anne, who had been deserted by her husband and had two little dinky girls. And he fell in love with Anne, and they got married, and she was behind on a bunch of things. And he sold his 1966 Impala Supersport to pay the bills. That's a man, baby. That's a man. We talked about that car a lot, and he said, you see these girls? There is no comparison. Forget that stupid car. He was born to protect. So don't let this culture do this to you. If you get out there and bust it, as my dad would say, and make a pile of money, good for you, and don't apologize. I have an acquaintance that's a billionaire. Got, you know, houses all over the country in all of the best places. And in the best places, he usually has two houses, and they're usually side by side for when people visit. He's a gozillionaire, as some people would say. He's got a Gulfstream jet to take him to all of those places. He has manufacturing companies all over the world. The first time I met him and he knew that I was a pastor, he started saying, well, no, you know, pastor, we really do have a lot, but, you know, we started with nothing, and we've worked really hard. And I said, hey, don't apologize for being successful. That's a great thing. That's the American dream right there. Are you kidding me? It is a beautiful and good thing. Don't apologize for it. God has given you that incredible gift. Dave Ramsey built a house. You know the financial guy that says pay cash for everything? Guy's on the radio. I love the Big D. He's a great man. Bought a house, built a house for $5 million. $5 million, okay? 16,000 square feet. And the Christian community went nuts. Well, you know, a lot of people are hungry and they could use that, you know, and all that stuff. In fact, there was a dentist that sent Dave 200 toothbrushes so he could have one in each bathroom. Okay? I love it. He ended up having a press conference outside of his house because, you know, his popularity was tanking because of him building this nice house. And he said, well, I just want you to know we're using this for God's kingdom. And we have staff meetings here. And, you know, we bless a lot of people. We do a lot of charity events. That, you know what I wish he'd have done? I wish he'd have gone up and said, in front of with a house behind him, is that cool or what? Now listen, I've written books that sold millions of copies. And if you write books that sell millions of copies, you can get one of those, man. I wish, why are we making excuse for that? It is
exciting. It is good, and there's nothing wrong with it. Get out there and get it. If you can make money, make all you can and do it. Do it boldly, okay? So you got my point on that one, right? All right, second of all, now we get to our text. When it comes to money, be careful. Money can make us goofy. And let me show you what I mean. It says in verse 10 of what I read to you, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Now, I know that it's quoted all the time that money is the root of all evil, or they'll say the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. No, the language here is literally, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Any inordinate love for something other than God, some great over-the-top love for anything other than God, can become weird. You can put your addiction in there. What is that? Is it the home shopping network? Is that your, you got boxes that you haven't even opened, piled up in a bedroom somewhere? Maybe you've got a problem, eh? What is your addiction, okay? Mine was Twinkies for years, and I'm working on it. But, guitars, I don't know, whatever it is, you can put your, over-the-top love for something in that place. It is a route to all kinds of evil because it leads you in the wrong direction in your life. And when we love money, oh, we get weird. We really do. It says, pursuing as the meaning of our life anything other than God is idolatry and is going to lead to all kinds of evil and pain in our own lives. As it says, it'll pierce you through with many, many sorrows. And that's true. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I mean, so we're always keep trying, re-putting things in their proper order in our lives, right? And we got to do that with money or we get really, really weird. You see, there's a difference between calling and meaning in your life. The calling of your life is one thing. The meaning of your life is another. Don't get those mixed up. If you start thinking the meaning of your life is your money, well, then you're going to get weird. But the calling of your life is to love God and love those around you. That is the meaning of your life, is to do it. The calling is to do your calling, whatever that is, whatever God has called you to do. But you're meant to serve God. Don't mix those two up. But so the love of money messes with our hearts. So let me tell you how that is. It's not just people with money, it's people without money. Let me tell you why. If you have money, people are going to work you for that money. Okay? Just plan on it. They have radar. They know who might have a couple dollars stored away somewhere, and they will work you. My old friend Andy Anderson, the Honda dealer that I went to high school and seminary with. I love him. He's been gone since 02. But I remember one day him sitting in his office with me and him crying, saying, "Tommy, I don't even know who my friends are anymore." I can remember we had a missionary come, and Andy was going to give them a truck for like half price. He was kicking in half, and the missionary was going to pay the other half. The guy comes. He was in Guatemala at the time. He flew in. He was going to drive it back to Guatemala. We go to for the closing on the car, to sign the papers. And he boldly asks Andy to give him the rest of it and him not have to pay anything. And I stood up and I said, if I would have known you were going to come in here and embarrass all of this with this dude, I said, Andy, don't give him anything. Take the other half back. Oh, no, no. They ended up doing the deal. You get worked. And when you get worked by people, something happens to you. You get calloused and you get greedy. Guard your heart. That money is not the meaning of your life. And just because people are messed up, don't let that mess you up. You're called to be a blessing to other people with what God has given you. And then if you don't have money, money can become your God too, because what happens is you become envious of people who have it. I mean, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, all kinds of breakdowns of relationships, all kinds of heartaches. So when it comes to money, be careful. Well, by the way, I want to say this too. Giving in the Bible is for everybody. That isn't just for people with the big bucks. It's for all of us. The Bible talks about all of us giving. Paul talked about a group of people he told the Corinthians about, that how they gave so much to the people Paul was taking an offering back from the Gentile Christians to Jerusalem because they were all in need. There was a tremendous persecution going on in Jerusalem from those who were in the Jewish sect. So they were taking this collection. And he said about these people in Macedonia, telling the Corinthians, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. That is a beautiful thing. We have to keep that in balance. We got to follow the Lord in the midst of all of that. And so we're all called to give. He said out of their extreme poverty, they really gave a bunch. It's really something to hear. You're not exempt from that. One of the great things that will help you dealing with money is to make sure you are sharing. If you got 10 cents or $10 million, God has called you to share with others. Make sure you're doing that. The Bible talks about supporting those who teach you in the faith. And so many of you are so faithful here. That's part of it, but not all of it. It's about being generous. And I don't even need to preach to you guys about this. I'm so proud of your generosity for all these years. Not just to me and Myron, but to all of those in need. You guys have a wonderful heart. But it can mess with both of our hearts if we have money or if we don't have money. And we are all called to be givers. Remember, you've never heard, I'm sure, of E.V. Hill. He was an old black pastor that served in L.A. What a great man. What a great man. He was getting death threats once. He preached his own wife's funeral. I don't know how he did it. But he told a story during her funeral. He said that he'd been getting death threats and all that stuff. Well, anyhow, he got up one morning and the car was gone. Man, the girl took the car. What's she taking the car? I got things to do. I'm a busy man. I'm a pastor. I needed the car. Why is she taking the car? A few minutes later, she pulls in. He said, girl, what are you doing taking the car? She said, honey, they've been making those death threats about you. I thought maybe they put a bomb on the car. I had to take it for a ride to make sure nobody got you. What great. And I tell you, I want to listen to that guy preach for 1,000 years. I mean, just really one of the greats. E.V. Hill. Go ahead and check it out. I love that guy. When they had needs in their church, he didn't go to the rich people in the church. He went to the poor people because he knew they would have compassion and give. Do you see? It's just... So anyhow, if you can make money, make all you can. But when it comes to money, be careful because we get weird. Thirdly, if you don't have money, deal with it. Seriously. Okay? Look at what Paul says about our weirdness about money. He wants us to, first of all, remember what's healthy. And if we go to verse 6, godliness with contentment is where the big bucks are. Okay, it's great gain, it says. What's great gain in our lives? Doing the right thing and wanting what we have is healthy. Focus on that. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you have. Remember what's eternal. He says in verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. I'm reading a book on John D. Rockefeller. What's interesting is that when he died, you heard the story, they asked his bookkeeper, how much did he leave when he died? And the bookkeeper said, all of it. You ain't going to take it with you. I have driven for 40 years behind a whole lot of hearses in processions, going to cemeteries. Never saw a U-Haul hooked on the back of one of those babies. It ain't going. The Egyptians tried. They filled those pyramids with stuff, and it's just there dusty and nobody used it because you can't take it with you. Remember what's eternal. And then remember what is promised. If you look at verse 8, it's simple but profound. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You've been promised the basics. Relax. And then don't put money in God's place. And that's what we've been talking about in these other verses, for the love of money. For instance, people who want to get rich. Those are the ones that don't have the ability to get it, but want it. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men and women into ruin and destruction. Don't do that. Because if you're not meant to have it and you think you're going to go after it and get it, you'll compromise everything to get it. And it'll destroy your life, right? If you don't have money, just deal with it. Accept your place in life. Some of us don't have professions that pay a lot of money. So you know what you do? You live on less than you make and do a good job. And take your place in this world. Whatever that is. Do it and do it well. Do it for the Lord and accept the place God has put you. That is a good and right thing. Don't let anybody look down on you because of what you do. If you work for Smith's Disposal, if you push a broom at a school, if you're a maintenance man, do it well and be a blessing to the people around you. I mean, don't let anybody look down on you. I had a twit come to church. Yes, I said twit in church. He's a friend of a buddy of mine. A real twit. Anyhow, he came to church and, you know, and all of that. And he's Mr. Money. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, if somebody has to talk about what they have, they don't have as much as they're talking about. Okay? You know what I mean? You know, he was, anyhow, after church he had to talk to me. And he wanted to talk to me about some new computer programs that his company's developed that he thinks will really help our ministry. And he said, looking at this congregation, I don't think there are many people here that are very computer savvy. Now listen, I don't have kids, right? But I know what it feels like to be a grandfather and somebody tell you your kids are ugly. All of a sudden, I was offended, okay? And I said, has anybody ever told you you're a real jerk? And he said, what? I said, you heard me. Get out. Come back when you get a better attitude. I mean, don't let people look down on you. I mean, that's just, what an idiot. So those are the three big points. If you can make money, it's a spiritual gift. Get it. When it comes to money, be careful because it'll mess with your heart. And if you can't make money, a bunch of money, deal with it, okay? Take your place. And so now we come to the big question as I close. Hey, Tommy, how come I'm in need then? I'm glad you asked. Since you asked, I want to be honest, okay? You could be in a difficult situation right now that you have created. Maybe your difficult situation you created with your own hands and your own neglect and your own overspending and your own lack of wisdom. Oh, that's hard. I know. But listen, the way out of that is accepting responsibility for where you are and getting busy and cleaning up the mess. I got a buddy, got in debt. You know what he did? Delivered pizzas at night along with working full-time until he got his debts paid. And he's a free man today. This church is full of stories that were people that were in bankruptcy who have recovered and put their lives back together and are on solid ground again. That's a beautiful picture. But in fact, it's Dave Ramsey that says, listen, if you're in debt, sell everything you got. Come on, just dump that stuff. You don't need that stuff. And then this is my favorite quote. Be selling so much stuff that the kids are afraid that they're next. Okay, I just love that. Clean it up, all right? So come on, instead of being a victim, come on. Instead of being a victim, let's step up and say, maybe I created this situation, right? Second of all, think with me for a minute. You think maybe your situation was created for you. Let me tell you what I mean. There was this pair of sisters, Mary and Martha, and their brother up and died. He was a friend of Jesus. They had sent Jesus a letter. The one you love is sick. That was the sisters' way of saying, hightail it, get here. Jesus waited 3 more days until the dude was dead and in the grave for 3 days. Then he showed up. Why? Why were they in that terrible time of grieving? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus was coming to fix it. And they stood there and with their own eyes saw them roll the stone from their brother's grave. And with their own ears, they heard Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth. And the boy they had personally prepared for burial hopped out alive, wrapped up in grave cloths, wrapped up. I mean, that difficult situation was created because God created it for them because he was going to do something miraculous for them. Jesus was with his boys, his disciples, and there was 5,000 families that had followed Jesus out into the middle of nowhere, and Jesus said, feed them. Are you kidding me? But Jesus had created that situation for those boys so they would find out that Jesus was all they needed. And somehow, from a little boy's lunch, Jesus fed up to 20,000 people that day. That's incredible. Maybe the situation was created. Gideon, the great warrior of Israel, was going against the Midianites, and he called for the Israeli armies to come, and all the men came. And God said, You got too many. Send a bunch home. And then he got down to the point where he said, you still got too many. Tell the army to go drink. And those who scoop up water in their hands and drink, tell them to go home. But the ones that lap water like a dog, tell them to stay. And with that few, God won the victory. He said, you got too many. You're going to take credit for this. I'm creating this situation so you know who's giving you the victory. That is exactly what God is going to do in your life. He is alive from the dead. He said, call to me. I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. Those things are so important and so real. He's about to work in your life. You've been beaten down with money stuff forever. Guys, you've been beaten down with it forever. What is it with Father's Day? Why is it Mother's Day is always so up, 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 right? We all bow at the feet of our mothers, and we should. And then we beat on dads every Father's Day. I don't, and that's not what I'm doing. I'm here to say today, you're a guy, be a guy. You're a man, be it. And I'm proud of you guys. Keep it up. Keep going forward. Handle your money right. Do it for the glory of God. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, here we all are. This is a strange subject to talk about, but it's important. You talked about it all the time. Would you help us, Lord? Would you help us to follow that great command in Scripture that says, owe no man nothing except love? Would you help us to work in that direction? Would you help us to start living on what we earn instead of on plastic? Help us to dig our way out of this hole. Give us opportunity and help. Help us to be healthy. Father, we take all that you've given us and we lay it at your feet. It's all yours. Bless your people. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.